Oh, I nearly killed someone. Pedestrian crossings. What are they all about?
That's selfish. Ladies and gentlemen, hang on to your hat. Special episode with Jeff Richie Baldwin.
Bad Daddy, you're a naughty boy.
These days, fatherhood is everywhere. You can't get away from it. Not that blokes haven't tried. If you're not a father, you've got a father. You're a son of a dad or a daughter of a bloke. But either way, being a dad is no picnic. The fear, the anger, the confusion and, well, the love, of course. Oh. Eric Myers and Dan Lee, together with their special guests, are here to share the highs and lows, the joys and the agony of being a modern dad. But most of all, to let you know that you're not alone.
Well, goodness me. So, Jeff.
Yes.
But I know you as, just quickly, housekeeping. I know you as Richie.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do I, or it's already created confusion with Dan. I'm going, Richie's coming in. He's going, who's Richie?
Oh,
I said,
yeah.
Jeff.
Right. Do you actually want the story behind it all?
Yeah, for sure. Might as well.
Okay. Fresh out of college, I got a job. Oh, I had an interview for a job in 99, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I went in and did the interview and I ended up getting the job. And it was like an e-commerce company, early days, .com stuff. And the editor, she saw me come in for the interview and said I looked cute and innocent like Richie Cunningham. So then first day on the job, the CEO basically walks me in, shows me around the office, and they have a board, a production board, and Cass, the editor, Ian's the IT guy, and Richie, that's you. And I'm not going to argue with the CEO on my first day. So,
bam.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's stuck.
Simple as that.
Yeah. Made a lot of friends through that job, and, yeah, it's come this far.
That's fantastic. Wow. So, it's just Jeff Richie Baldwin.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, yeah. The bio, Jeff. Is for Dan's purposes and the audience,
yeah,
is a motorcycle journalist.
Yes, that's what they call it.
Motorcycle journalist.
That's what I am now.
We worked out.
It started as a blogger, but blogger, that term kind of doesn't exist anymore.
Blogging has expanded.
Mm.
Like on a magazine, a motorcycle. Or for news, for sports?
Well, no, for my own website. So I started a blog in 2006 just for a bit of fun.
Yeah.
I worked in digital advertising and marketing. And it kind of – I managed to turn it into my – you're right?
Yeah.
Into my full-time job. In 2012, I started doing it full-time. So I do my website and I also edit a magazine and other bits and pieces that come up when – yeah,
oh, wow.
When that happened.
So, Dan, when I met Jeff, I just choked on a fucking oat latte.
Oh, God.
I want that on my gravestone. He died on an oat latte.
Yeah.
He was organising an event called Oil Stained Brain.
Mm.
All right.
Bit of a breakthrough thing. It was in the middle of the CBD. Yeah. It was a custom motorcycle event. It was exciting. Like,
yeah, it was really good.
Custom scooters.
And is that how you guys met through the two-wheel contraption?
Yeah, and he was part of a communal workshop project, just near here.
Yeah, so just down the road from there. So.
And Jeff helped me set up my dyno room, which then became the podcast studio.
Yeah.
So it's actually podcast. Yeah.
So, but Jeff, is there not some kind of is Derek somewhat inferior to you though because he's a scooter man and not a proper motorbike man?
Like, no, is it we've managed to avoid this for years. This question.
Do you know that it's such a funny thing that exists in the motorcycle realm? Definitely, 100%.
Yeah.
But I started out on a scooter after traveling. I came back to Australia. I was broke. I bought a scooter. Not to say scooters are for poor people, but but that's how
they are for big damp-eyed Nancy boys. No, sorry.
Yeah, but I started on scooters and then moved to motorcycles. I wish I still had a scooter. I think they're loads of fun. So
yeah.
So these projects and then I was just watching his career just flourish. And but as I was just finding out, the thing that held it all together was the actual blog, which is now a a journal or
I suppose it's a media channel, you know.
Oh man, it's all changed. What's it called?
It's called Return of the Cafe Races. It sounds like a movie. It's probably giving it that super long name is probably my biggest regret. But it does really well. I've got a substantial following, and it keeps me out of full time employment, which
it's
is nice.
Fair to say that Jeff is a serious influencer in the international motorcycle online world.
That's nice of you to say so.
That's fair to say, isn't it?
To a degree, yeah.
It's going to be all humble now.
I like stories that about people's careers sort of evolving and in unusual ways. Like, presumably you didn't start out years ago thinking you'd do this exactly.
No.
But like it sort of evolves through interest and connection with things, presumably.
Yeah. It's funny, actually. I was talking to my wife about it, and she was like, when we first met, you know, you used to talk about, I was working in advertising. She was like, you just used to say you wanted a job where you just got to do motorcycle related stuff because it's my passion, and it kind of happened.
But she's not one to judge.
How do you
mean?
Doesn't
she work professionally just playing a flute?
Yes. Yeah,
not just playing a flute. That is the best job ever.
She's a musician, yeah.
And she's a flautist.
She is a flautist.
If you've got it, mate, flaut it.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. And she's quite...
Yeah, well, I know what that's like. Yeah.
Are you married to a musician?
Yeah, Missy Higgins.
Oh, so there you go. Right.
Music can be a proper career.
Yeah.
Which is odd because it certainly wasn't for me when I was in those dreadful bands in the 90s. Didn't make a cracker.
Well, my wife is very specific with what she plays. She plays all Brazilian style of music now. And even though she's in that niche in Melbourne, she still makes it work. So she's she's pretty cool. Impressive, I have to say.
Yeah, it's amazing. Mm. Now, speaking of wives and things,
mm-hmm.
You all must be wondering why our fatherhood podcast has Jeff sitting in here talking about his motorcycle journalist career. Well,
has he got kids, Derek?
No,
maybe he's got kids.
No,
he doesn't.
His statistics are, and I've been wanting to do this for quite some time, is get someone on the cusp.
Mm.
And I'm not saying someone who's actively sexual. I'm talking about damn close to being a daddy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's one in the oven.
Oh, great. We're going to destroy you. Where should we start? Shall I tell you about my week?
He was madly taking mental notes on our intro, Dan, saying, fear. Love, of course. Oh, that's good.
Can I just, the biggest thing, possibly, it's not what I learned, but something that came up in that talk with Dave Mann and the truck thing was that I realised one of the many things that's peculiar to having children, and you'll probably find this pretty early as well, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Are we calling you Jeff or Richie?
Whatever's comes up, Jeff's fine.
Jeff's all right. We were talking about how since having kids, somehow you can have totally polar opposite emotions simultaneously. And I don't remember that happening before. So, like, you can be totally kind of terrified, but also have intense courage at the same time I don't know. This is the most perplexing part of it for me. It's just that they all happen simultaneously, which is, I suppose, is better than just having terror and not the love and the, you know. That's the biggest thing for me.
But this right now, how long to go? 6 weeks or something?
Yeah, I think we've just gone 8. So early October, would you?
Yeah, so... So, but right now there's all the terror, and you haven't met the dude. Do you know what I mean? Like you expect it to be coming. Everyone's telling you, "Oh, you're going to love this thing." You know, then there's this fear. I remember my wife she was frightened of getting postnatal depression. Yeah. She was frightened of having a of me not liking the child, and I was going, oh, you know, I don't know who this is going to be.
It probably wasn't until maybe last week when I kind of had any fear associated with this. Yeah. Well, like, yeah. I have to say, this is probably the most dad, you know, yeah. father thing I've done. You know, everything up until now, you know, scans and everything, you feel like you're a bit of a third wheel. Doing you're kind process. Of in the room yeah. And yeah. you know, it's not growing in you or anything. So you just, yeah, you know, even when they're talking to you as a couple, they yeah. just talk to your wife the whole time. Yeah. So, yeah. But
and also you're not getting the benefit of all that, or benefit or disadvantage, whatever it is, but you're not getting a direct hormonal flow between you and the child that she's having from the moment of conception right through breastfeeding and all that. So you can't help but be slightly out of it. Can I just tell you quickly what Missy's manager told me?
Yep.
When we got pregnant, he rang me and said, because I was spending a lot of time sitting on the couch going, oh, fuck, what am I going to do? Like, because I couldn't do anything.
Standard procedure.
Standard procedure. And he said, listen, when the baby comes, think of it like the music industry. The child is the temperamental rock star. The mother is the dedicated manager. And you have got to accept the fact that for a while you're the shit-kicking roadie.
Yeah. yep.
And just embrace sense. That. Be the shit-kicking roadie. Don't try to, you know, the baby's like this hysterical rock star trashing hotel rooms and making demands. And mum's got to just deal with all that. And you need to just do whatever the fuck needs to be done. If, you, yep. if it's
crisis
if
management. It's getting,
yeah, you just do what you're told, you know. And if you do, and he said, if you do that and just accept that for a period of time, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
So it was kind of good advice.
Well, I was going to say, the only thing that has kind of scared me up until now is I saw Derek the other night at a friend's 40th, and somebody at the 40th said to me it was kind of when the baby arrives and you realize how, you know, how all of a sudden you've got this massive responsibility and your yeah. life is never going to be the same and everything. And
I
kind of went away and put some thought into that, and that scared me a little bit. But at the same time, it's you know, it's the situation we've put ourselves into. I've accepted that this is what we're doing now, and there's no turning back. So,
yeah, and that's what I meant about having simultaneous extreme feelings at the same. Mm. You know, is that yeah, like there's this huge responsibility. It can never be you can never not be a father, but at the same time, there's feelings and privileges that come with that that there is no way anyone can describe to you until you've had it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It really is like entering a club that you don't know – you're having to sign up for before you know what's through the door.
Yeah.
I've got one, Danny. I've got one.
Yeah,
so,
go on.
So maybe life before you've got a little specialty shop in Shepparton – right?
Right.
And you've gone, oh, that's it. You've just fucking signed a lease in Melbourne Central, right? And you're going for it kind of thing.
Yes. Jesus.
And,
yes.
And it's going to work. And in 2 years' time, you go, imagine if we just fucking stayed sitting in that shop in Shepparton. It was good and we were happy and obviously successful. But, you know, but everyone tells you about what's coming, but you – it's a shit one, but I had to. I felt under pressure to come up with one for you.
Yeah. But I so wish I'd been able to get in there today because this is so. Though I would have just ranted at you, sorry Jeff, because there's so much I want to say, but it's
look. Yeah, you wouldn't be the first person to rant at me. I have to say, everybody has an opinion. Like right down to what that's sex your child is going to be.
Did someone say? Oh, I can tell it's hanging low. Everyone it's going to be a girl says, or something. Like
everyone
that.
Says.
And like, that's probably the hardest part.
Yeah.
You know, that is a pain in the ass, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Not really. It's people wanting to get involved.
No, you know. I know. They mean well. You just have
look
to.
Look at us, Dan. Look what's happening.
It's gambling. It's because everybody's obsessed with gambling.
But, we're not telling it. I suppose we are giving him advice. I don't know.
But
know what it is? It's just trying to get, like, every person that has a kid is another person you can get together with and have some therapeutic conversation with, because we need it so much, you know. But
if everyone's got a cold, Danny, if everyone's got a cold at the time, no one gives a shit, right? Like, if everyone's got the flu,
we've had that.
That's all you get.
Yeah.
But it's different.
Yeah, when you have a baby.
It's different with parenting, because it's so big and so traumatic for everybody that when someone new comes along, I've got this habit. I didn't do it this time, but I've been fighting this habit of when I see a couple and they say, oh, guess what, we're having a baby, I kind of start tearing up.
Oh, Derek.
For the bloke. and the wife kind of goes, what about, I'm going, oh, you're going to be a dad. And it's like, be careful, Derek, you're going to get yourself slapped.
Oh, God.
But I just, not with sadness, I just get all emotional when other dudes, maybe because your memory gets completely wiped. This is another magic gift of God. He wipes everything.
It wipes everything and it fucks with your head and you think you're madly in love and you just hate them as well, and I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know fucking who I am anymore. but I tell you what, you're learning. I mean, the more I accept the fact that they're here to teach me, the better I get along. I mean, if I make the mistake of thinking I'm in charge, you know what I mean? Like I've got to see it as this amazing opportunity to develop myself, then things seem to go better. But again, it depends on what your kids are like too and how hard they are. It's always it's full on. I mean, it's a huge adventure, man. I'm gonna have to go though.
Have you got any quick questions? You can leave him answering and I'll turn you off if you have to split.
Oh no! Look, you guys talk, and I'll speak to you later, Derek. Right. I've got a lot of. I'm in the middle of all sorts of things at the moment that I'm trying to figure out.
Good luck with it. I'll speak to you later.
Nice to meet you, Dan. I'll probably meet you after the event. I think Derek's coming me back, getting me back to have a laugh at me after.
Yeah, before and after.
Why don't we do that?
I'm a total guinea pig.
He's not fulfilling my dream. My dream is to someone go, you know, we've got it all sorted. We've done the classes. We know what's going on.
Well, we haven't gone into any of that yet.
I've got everything sorted, and then get him in four months later going,
this would be a really good one to do the before and after, because, it's relatively close together.
Yep.
So. Beautiful. All right, great. Well, have a good time and good luck. We'll talk to you later.
All right,
good
one. Thanks. Thanks for calling.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye. Oh, it's just us. So just down to brass tacks.
This is where I get serious.
Now that Danny's gone. Metaphors. No, I'm always in trouble for making up random metaphors. How was the pregnancy? Like, everything seems perfect. You've got this... Well, successful career and
living the high life.
Yeah, it's in your own terms. Yeah. You know, the episode we just put up is a family that live in a tiny house on the back of a truck up and down the coast of Western Australia.
Oh, wow.
And they're travelling musicians.
Yeah.
And it's like, I listened to it as I was editing, just going, do what you want. And then I thought, hang on, I am. You know what I mean? I already am.
Yeah.
Everything's good. Your wife's got a great career. She's lovely and healthy.
Hopefully it's all enough to, you know, having kids introduces all kinds of changes, and financial ones, I suppose, are a big one to consider. And, you know, my website does well, but I'm not, you know, I'm not rolling in cash or anything that. So there is this kind of thing hanging over my head, is this career going to be one that I can continue with when kids come along? And, you know, I think it is, and I hope it is. But then there's also the flip side is like, wow, it gives me incredible freedom when we have a child.
Yes.
In terms of, you know, I can work, I'm going to be knackered, like I'm going to be tired.
Yep.
But I can work when I want. So if Asha has a gig, she can go and perform. I can mind the baby, she comes back, we tag team, you know, and it probably means we'll have less time together, because that's going to happen anyway as well. But I think it is a unique and special opportunity we have because of our work situation.
It does seem like it. I was self-employed in a similar way, but as a mechanic, as a scooter, vintage scooter mechanic. So I, you know, got to work with a one-year-old standing in the backyard trying to help building a shed, going, all right, okay, I can bring some of my work home, have a workbench here. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right. It was just leaving the house and going into the shed. Nah, because you're back and forward.
Yeah.
As a journalist, as a writer, all the movies show this guy trying to type while kids are biting their legs and stuff like that.
Trying to find focus.
But you obviously can do it.
Mm,
mm. Movies wouldn't talk about it if dudes weren't having a crack at it.
Yeah. I've done things at home so that it's going to work better for me as well. Like the place we're in now has a kind of small studio
soundproof
room out the back. Yeah. Well, it's a separate work environment. So I've created, like, I used to work out of the spare room and it was very easy to just go in there all the time whenever I wanted. And now I've made this separate space. I'm kind of keeping normal hours. And so it's quite funny to say, you know, I'm off to work and I go 5 meters out the back and I'm in a separate space. But it's hopefully going to work to give me that little bit of separation. And so I can try and have a normal run normal working hours, but I know I'm not going to be doing a normal 5 day week.
So there's your house prep, the room prep, the environment prep, the kid, obviously no control. He's the wild rock star, as Dan put it.
Maybe a she.
Yeah, I'm just using his, but I could see by the shape of the belly, it was clearly
a... You're another one of them.
No, I'm not, but I've got a theory about that.
Right, everybody's got a theory about
exactly.
That.
Yeah, exactly. No, the old happened to us, like the lady in the country, and everyone goes, oh, she's good.
She's got the knack.
She's like the gypsy lady, but you can't say that. And she hangs your wedding ring on a string over the belly, and if it goes one way or if it spins... or whatever.
That's interesting.
It tells you which gender it is, right? So they all believe it. All my wife's family all believe it. And I watched how it works. It's simple. When they get it wrong, no one notices.
Right.
It's kind of like gambling.
Imagine
if you went to the casino and instead of a tiny amount of time, half the time you won. You only know, you're going on about it. You're the big winner.
Mm.
So whenever she gets it right, they go, you see?
Yeah.
She's genius. When she gets it wrong, they go, oh, it must have been windy or something. Wanting to believe does it. But you get it all set up, but it all comes down to the mind. I reckon it comes down to the mind, working from home, the mindset of the whole family.
Mm.
Like if you're in there, are you actually in there? Like to pretend this doesn't really work for us. I haven't tried it. But when you're in that room, it's like, okay, you're this close, so if there's an emergency, you're only just there, but you're not there.
Mm.
Imagine you're in the CBD in an office. Can you think that way?
Yep.
You know, it's really hard. My wife works for local government and her hours are just dictated.
Yeah.
There's a Saturday every couple of weeks. There's a late to 8 p.m. and that's just, it arrives and you get told what you're doing. There's no changing it. It's like, well,
it's just
can you imagine if my job was like that? We'd be rooted. So I don't know how people roll with those normal jobs.
People spend a fortune on daycare and things. I can't understand how people can make it work because it costs so much.
It's pretty expensive.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy money. But, it's a very lucky situation to have this little space out the back. Yeah. Like, it's kind of the perfect scenario. So, yeah, it's good.
Knock, 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 get ready.
Yeah.
See how it pans out.
Change a nappy.
Yeah, but they get more and more independent. It gets easy. My theory is it doesn't get easier as they get older. You just get more broken.
Mm.
Right? This and where you are right now is the initial fear or fear or anticipation or whatever of what's coming. And that's where it's maxed out. And then eventually you just go, oh, well, that's it. Remember you were saying just before about the decision's made and that's how life's going to be.
Mm.
How old are you?
I'm 43. So.
Right. So what else do you want to do? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I was kind of about the same age when I started breeding.
Yep.
And it was like, I was just too tired to
do
any more adventures anyway. So I don't think you're at that much risk of regret and you know, missing out.
Like
if you were 25.
Yeah, no, I've stretched this out as long as I could. You know, Asher, my wife, is 10 years younger than me, which bought me some time.
You know, like, same here.
And to be honest, like when we got together, kids wasn't even something we'd sort of thought was something we wanted to do. And it was, you know, marriage wasn't either for a long time. Asher and I were together for 10 years before we got married.
So she would have been just 20 or something.
She was just turning 21 when I met her. Yeah. But like the only reason we kind of got married was like eventually it started becoming a thing, you know, and I wanted to marry her years before, but she had kind of not said to me she didn't want to get married, but had indicated she was younger, she had a lot to do and all of this sort of thing, and it wasn't kind of a priority. And then when family started talking, I was like, right, time to get a ring.
And then
we got married, and then, so.
So the marriage is kind of the preface for having kids to make it simpler. Or
definitely. And it's a big one that is always talked about, the biological clock, you know, like the whole, you know, Ash is 33. You know, she's starting to get into that area where they're like, you need to do it now. And
well, if you plan on having six or seven of them.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. One's enough. She's already talking about a second. I'm like, let's see how this one turns out.
To have a discussion maybe about 10 weeks' time.
Yeah. But, like, we going back to the actual pregnancy and we took a big trip in 2017 and we went to a couple of places where there was concerns with – we spent some time in Brazil and there was concerns with the Zika virus and all of that stuff, which all turned out to be – when you get there and you ask people about it, they don't even know what the hell you're talking about. Oh, you know, it's like, so we were like, let's not kind of try during this period of travel. And we were away for like 10 months. And then when we came back, we're like, all right, full steam ahead,
game on,
off the pill. And then it actually took 13 months. It took a really long time.
Did you start getting frightened? Like, was it concerning?
Well, we didn't start talking seriously about, you know, we need to, go and see the doctor and, you know, spend $10,000 and get, you know. But, it's challenging when, you know, you want something to happen, especially for Asher. It was really difficult, you know. And, you know, unfortunately, sex becomes a bit of a, you know, we have to do it now. We have to do it now, you know. And it's like, I was like, that's not very exciting. like, I like doing it, but I don't like being told, you know, I'm ovulating, let's do it. It's like, that doesn't turn me on.
It lets you know. That is the big trigger that just awakens you up to what you're here for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
the inseminator.
And so about, I suppose at about 6 or 7 months of trying, that became a thing. And it became quite testing. I think it was a bit challenging for our relationship, not to a degree where it was ever going to be dangerous for our relationship, but it was, you know, it was challenging. We talked a lot about it and kind of got over it. And then it just became, you know, fun again. And then, when we found out we were pregnant, we had, it was ridiculous because we thought the last thing that was happening was that she was pregnant. We thought it was something else because we kind of got it in our head that something's not right. You know, we need to try this. And then, all of a sudden she's pregnant and it's like, wow, crazy. It's happening.
Came on.
We found out on Valentine's Day, which was hilarious. Aww. Yeah. Aww. It's a bit sweet.
Fantastic. So you are going to have a few then, aren't you? Sounds like. Anyone a Catholic? Are you from a big family or?
No, I'm perfect. Nuclear family, you know, two kids.
Normal every day.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sister and me. I'm, to be honest, like the whole thing with growing global population and what does the future hold and all of this kind of thing, maybe overthinking it. Maybe I shouldn't even think about it.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of in the mindset like, you don't need to replace every person on the planet with another person. Do you know what I say? And you know, everybody talks about, a kid, if you have one child, they don't get this great growing up with a sibling and everything. And I'm like, but I know lots of people who were single children and came out fine. You know, for me at this stage, one child sounds great.
Mm.
We'll see what happens with two. And the discussion with my wife.
You definitely build a different character. It's known. We can't talk about the different
and only child types versus of people in different races and different
things, but we certainly can talk about only children are different creatures.
Mm. And like Tasmanians. Often
gifted. Yeah, we can still say that. But it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
But gifted. You know, the only children I know, they're handfuls, but they're guns
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
So,
but ultimately it comes up to how you, yeah, and how you raise a child. Like, but right now, let's say one, and maybe you'll see me in another episode further down the track, and it'll be our seventh. Who knows?
I've heard so many vows around this time about what the future holds, but that's fantastic. So the decision to have, were you saying on
at
Saturday
home?
Night you have a home birth?
Yes, we are.
Is that the fash?
I don't know. I suppose amongst some people. Well, certainly none of my friends have thought about it.
Was it easy to achieve?
But, yeah.
That'll give you, I must be relatively.
Well, look, a lot of my friends have already got kids. And we have, there's a couple, my wife plays music with the husband, and they had home births for both of their children. And they live a quite an interesting life. You know, they have a zero waste household. Her front yard and backyard have turned into veggie patches.
So it's
and,
full principle.
Stuff. Yeah, they're paleo. They're quite not that everybody wants to do this, but as a couple and what they do in life is inspirational. I'm not saying we should all grow veggies in our front lawn, but they do a lot of really interesting things in life, and we'd kind of. With our birth, you know, the hospital system, I'm not a fan of hospitals and I don't think anybody really is, but the hospital system and going through it feels like, you know, a bit of a factory churning these things out. And there's a lot of stuff about how many people are having induced births and you know, and I kind of feel like, what's wrong with doing it naturally, you know? And you don't have that option if you go to most hospitals, you know, you can't kind of go full term because they're like, whoa, you know, it's 38 weeks. We've got to get that baby out. And it's like, really? Like, it's surely you've got 42 weeks you can go or something, you know? So we were kind of like, we want like a minimum intervention birth. And the way to do it is a home birth.
Yeah.
So we asked our friends. They gave us the number for their midwife and we met her and she's amazing. We all hit it off and we're like, that's it. We're going down that path.
Beautiful. And so there's just like you look up the phone book kind of thing and there's midwives?
Yeah, there's some.
Get a midwife.
There's a few really interesting places in Melbourne. There's a birthing centre just near Flemington Racecourse, actually, where they have a really good setup. We went to an open day they had, and they have several midwives there, and they do a lot of home births. They've even had one there, apparently. But there's these resources are out there. All you have to do is find them. The big issue is the cost. So we're not going through the hospital system where it costs you nothing. We're paying. So So yeah, it's. It's a significant cost.
What do you see as the benefits? Like,
well, the big thing again
like is there like research in the levels of anxiety or different chemicals? Like, is there something?
I think that there is. You know, there'll be lots of theories for and against, obviously. Yeah. And I don't think I can say either one is right or wrong.
Yeah.
But thinking about it and. The process of having a child in our home environment where there is no pressure to do anything other than have the child, really, you know, it's like for Asha to go into labor, to have the child in home, and then we can go straight into the bedroom and she can lie and relax with the child in the home. No, we have to pack up in a few days and get out of here. No interruptions from nurses or any of that stuff. To me, that's kind of the perfect environment.
It's a dream.
You know? Yeah. When you're sick, you'd prefer to lay in your bed at home than in hospital. Yeah,
I imagine in the modern world, you've got contingencies. You're not in a little town in Bavaria.
Yeah. We're in a really good spot. We're in West Footscray and we're right next to or very close to Sunshine Hospital, which is actually a birthing hospital. And there's also Footscray Hospital on the other side, not even 5 minutes.
Yep.
The midwife on the big day comes with a second person, another midwife,
yep,
and they're prepared. You know that they trained. She's been delivering babies since the 80s in hospitals, and now she's doing this.
Yeah.
So she knows what can happen, what can go wrong. We have discussions with her about, you know, what if.
Yeah.
And it's just about being prepared, you know, make sure you've got your ambulance cover and make sure, you know, this is all thought out and
minimize risk. And
yeah. And yeah, she knows to recognize it. So, you know, we've had some meetings with her and she's checked things and things are going well. So,
people from home births are known to grow up to be fantastic people.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I only know one.
Who's that?
Me.
Really?
Yeah, I was a home birth.
Deliberate or accidental?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, totally, that's fantastic.
Deliberate. It was 1966.
Wow.
And it was it was you can imagine at that time, post-50s, when we were just like science.
When everything was black and white.
That would have been more robotic at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It was just must have been a little thing that kicked off.
You have siblings?
Yeah, my brother was born in hospital.
Right.
First.
Older or younger?
Yeah, older.
Right.
And then they went, no, home birth.
So did your mother not enjoy the first birth so much or?
Oh, I never asked her.
Oh.
But it was just a thing. I think it was just something, maybe a few people were doing it around the traps and.
Well, knowing you're a home birth makes me feel good.
Coming sort of thing. Yeah, yeah. Healthy, roly-poly baby. 9 pounds or something.
Right. Okay.
Which I guess we have to translate nowadays. What's the current fash? So you'd be heavily involved in this whole process, I imagine.
Oh, yeah. I'll be rolled up sleeves, getting my hands.
Yeah, yeah. And so what's the – I wonder what's changed. It's probably 10 years since I've been going to classes. We had the magic of the Mercy Birthing Centre.
Right.
Which isn't there anymore. And that was a wonderful somewhere between the two. So it wasn't – it was in the hospital technically.
Yep.
So you actually having – it was like a motel room. So you're in there and you have a midwife. No doctors. Any machines that go ping or any outlets were all hidden away or not there. Never found out. And there's a little ensuite for hours and hours of showers and stuff during the labor and everything. So it's just you and your other birth partners and the mother and the kid. All just going through labour with the midwives popping in and stuff. So that was a great idea. It's shut down. I don't know why. Maybe funding or something.
There's a hospital I'm from Perth originally, is King Edward, I think it is in Perth, where they have kind of a wing that is like that. And I went to see some friends who had their birth in there. And, it was like a hotel room and quite relaxed. And they looked like they'd had not a good time, but a pleasant experience with the birth. She looked knackered.
it's pretty exhausting, but it's not so – doesn't feel like you're having a human medically removed.
Yeah.
You know. But you're only a couple of swing doors away.
Yeah.
From – which had to happen with our first one anyway. So it wasn't an emergency, but there was 36 hours of labor and his head was getting a funny shape because he was trying so hard to come out. And then so it's all kinds of epidurals and things like that.
We may end up there. I think we have to be very realistic about it and realize that that's something that can happen. I think it's the last thing we want to happen.
Yeah.
But right now it's looking pretty good, you know. The baby's healthy, Asha's doing really well, the midwife's really positive. So she's going to bring around the pool, I think, next time. So we set up the pool in the lounge room.
It's going to be one of those home water births.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a double banger. This is great. I didn't know that.
Yeah, from the start we said we'd do the water thing as well.
Oh, wow.
So
meant to be really relaxing for the child.
Well, I think just in general with the pain and everything, it's probably really good. You know, heat does change a lot of things.
Like I said, I spent probably 3 hours in a shower.
Yeah.
With my wife and my sister-in-law.
Yep.
You know? it's,
you shouldn't be saying that already.
Yeah. It was about a year before the first child was born. No, just kidding. But, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Keep it underwater. That's,
I
never thought about it that way. I thought it was just so that there was no shock when you pull the baby out.
Just wash it clean before I look at it. I don't want to see any of that. Well,
the other night when I caught up with you, and I was talking to another guy And he was the opposite, because I was going, oh, you know, birth, it's unpleasant, right? He's going, what? I loved it. You know, I'm going, oh, I think it's a bit, it's not my favorite thing, right? I like having a kid, and I know it's supposed to be a beautiful experience, but it's just a bit gory.
Yeah.
It's just a bit gory for me. And I was mucked in, and I was boots and all, like I was there, but I'm not going to pretend that it was the most pleasant thing I've ever done. And he's going, oh, it was great. He said, oh God, I went into the, anyway, I won't go into detail, but he, you know, the baby does get cleaned.
Yeah.
Immediately it comes out, which is nice.
Well, I was, you know, for a long time, I was like, I'm staying away from the action end. I was like, I don't want that to ruin, it'll ruin it forever.
Yeah.
But now I'm like totally in the, you know, gore. I'm quite interesting when it comes to gore and things. I've had some experiences in my life and I've reacted in a different way to where I thought I would in terms of helping and not being afraid to assist. And even with Asha, with funny things at home, you know, she cut the end off her finger and I kind of stuck it back on and got it to the hospital, you know.
What about the fishbone?
Oh, that was a good one.
I did a bit of a Facebook snooper, but oh, let's just quickly have a check what he's been up to. Did you actually get tweezers and pull a fishbone out of your wife's throat?
I did. She had a funny scratch in her throat after we ate fish. Dad. And like a month later, she's like, she says to me, when I turn my head this way, I get this funny feeling. I was like, it's the same thing from a month ago. She's like, yeah. I was like, this is ridiculous. So she opened her mouth and I saw it in the back of her throat. So I pulled it out, which is why, you know, that kind of thing.
I'm could have got spewed on, you know that.
Yeah, I know. I said to her, no sudden movements. I don't want to drop tweezers down your throat.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I am fully prepared now.
I can visually see you sitting there dressing knees, stitching knees. You probably have your own little stitch-up kit, save yourself going to the hospital.
I'm a DIY, yeah.
That's what you have to be. No professional training.
You
have to be everything. You're basically a mobile army surgical hospital, 4077. Oh, that's great. So so the pool goes in the lounge room?
Yes.
And it's specially made for this, or is it like
a wild party blow-up
pool from IKEA?
Well, I think it is an inflatable pool. Yeah. But they do have a special liner that goes in it, obviously because it's like medical waste, I suppose. There's a lot of blood and everything, so they have to have special liners that are disposable. Yeah. She said there's ones that have wooden frames, but this is just an inflatable one. So, yeah, we'll move things around and fill it with the hose.
I don't want to be disasterizing, right? But if it did burst...
Yeah, I've thought about this.
What floor are you on?
We're on the ground floor, and we've got floorboards, so it'll drain through. But, yeah, I have thought about that. Because we are in a rental. I was wondering if I should tell them. Just go for it and then...
No, don't tell them.
Yeah, I'm not telling
them. Tell them if it goes wrong.
We had a flood.
Just bore 20 mil holes all over the floor so that if it happens, it happens quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait to hear about this this birthing experience.
I'll make a video for you.
Yeah. No. I don't like the gore. Oh, well, that is absolutely fantastic. Do you have a doula?
No. We talked about it. We've got a friend who's done her doula training, but she lives up in Queensland. Yeah. But I don't think so. What we will have, though, is my mother-in-law. She'll be there.
Oh, okay.
Which is another one that gets people interested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she would only be very young, though. She'd be my age.
No, she's like... Asha's got an older sister.
Yeah.
So her mum's, oh God, I probably shouldn't say this recorded, but her mum's getting on to 60, I think.
Yeah. So it's
how old are you?
53.
Oh, well, you're nowhere near 60.
No. that's right. Exactly.
And I'm nowhere near 50. No. So, yeah. So that's been another really interesting thing, like people freaking out about that. But, you know, I think it's going to be really fun to have her there. And of all the mothers I can think of, she's the one that it could work with.
Yeah, let's face it. You can't just say, no, you can't have a mother-in-law because that's projecting your own mother-in-law experiences. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And people turn magic. Like you were saying, you don't know. You didn't know how you're going to respond to gore until you were there.
Yeah.
Everyone's different.
Everyone's different.
In that situation.
And I have kind of said to her, you know, we've kind of talked about this is our experience, and, you know, it's important that when it's happening, no matter what's kind of happening, that it's kind of us. And she's, you know, completely aware of that, And it's funny, even the midwife has that attitude. She's like, I'll be making cups of tea while you're doing all of that. Like, she's like, I'll come in and have a look and then I'll leave. There's no poking and prodding. It's like, which is nice. Again, the whole home birth thing is going to be quite amazing in that respect, in terms of the freedom we'll have to kind of go through this thing on our own.
Well, it seems that, like, we've got an ongoing theme. Just to finish up, we've got this ongoing theme with this. It's like, and Dan and I tell it ourselves this, that the more we care about it and talk about it and put thought into it, the better chance of, you know, the kids have. You know, clearly it sets things in motion. So you clearly, guys, have, you know, really thinking about this kid and the best experience for it even before it's even born.
Yeah.
You know, he or she, whatever. And, it's going to be great. I look forward to it.
Well, we haven't thought about, I have to be honest, we haven't thought about much after this. You know, for right now, this is the focus. After that, who knows what's going to happen once it arrives.
There'll be a few months of just plain surviving in it. Yeah. In kind of, just survival mode.
Yep.
And if people say, I'm going to bring around a casserole, say, yes, please. Can you bring around two casseroles
would be nice.
Don't fuck about. This is the village that we miss.
Do you know, I actually thought about buying a freezer for in the, like a chest freezer, just to load it up with meat.
Fuck yeah. And you'd be going, fuck, we've run out of fucking donated shit. Yeah. What are we going to do? Uber Eats is around now. I wasn't around when I was having babies, but that could be bad. Awesome. Well, good luck with it, Jeff.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming in. And I just can't wait to see you next in here.
Yeah, actually, I'm really looking forward to it as well. Obviously, I've got this great thing coming up, and to come back and share, because it is a bit of a different experience, and I mean, you were quite curious, even though it was wet, how you came into this world.
Yeah.
I think it will be interesting to share this with people. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like, so I'll update you next time I'm here.
Sounds like it's all set. Mm. It's going to be perfect. And as my mate once said to me when I was in your position, when I said, for God's sake, give me some advice, he said, hang on, hence the name of the show. All right, mate, thanks for coming in.
No worries, thank you.
Awesome Podcast was recorded at Castaway Studios in Collingwood. Here, we provide affordable, accessible, professional podcasting production facilities to the full range of podcasters, all the way from basic studio hire right through to full season production packages. You can get us on castawaycollingwood@gmail.com or just look up Castaway Studios on all the social medias.